All right, Tavosai, good morning. So today's daf is Pei Vav. We're going to start from the bottom of Pei Hei Amud Beis, last three lines. Tshuva mechaperes al averos kalos va'alasei va'alosasei. So the last three lines on the bottom. So the Mishnah said that tshuva atones for averos, literally averos kalos. Averos kalos are light averos. Also, just our shiur this morning is sponsored by Alan Wiseman for the archetype of his father-in-law, Charles Newman, Zachariah ben Yisrael Tzvi. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Neshama will have an aliyah.
Amen.
So we'll discuss, obviously, what averos kalos are. Okay. What averos kalos are. So don't get any ideas, right? It doesn't mean they're any less severe. It means your punishment is a little bit less severe. But we'll get into that in the Gemara. So the Mishnah said that tshuva is mechaper on averos kalos. And an asen alosase. So the Gemara says, "Hashta alosase mechaperas alasemiboy." Now, if you're already telling me that tshuva is mechaper for a losase, do you need to tell me that tshuva is mechaper for an asay? Meaning, abosai, an asay, a positive commandment, is always treated more leniently than a prohibition, than a losase. So, if you're telling me that tshuva atones for an asay, then of course it atones for a losase. So, just to give you examples, for example, tefillin. Tefillin is an asay. If I don't put on tefillin one day. So again, I have not violated an avera. I have simply missed out on an opportunity to perform a positive commandment. As opposed to if I eat treif, I eat chazer. So that's the commission of an actual lav. I've violated a prohibition. So the Gemara is suggesting, if you're telling me already that tshuva takes care of a losa asay, then of course it takes care of an asay. Amar Rav Yehuda, hachikam Rav Yehuda, no, this is what it means to say. Alasei va'alosa asay shenita klasei. Rav Yehuda says, no, what does tshuva take care of? Tshuva takes care of an asay, positive commandment, and on a lo sa'asay shemitah klasi, and I will say this is very interesting, there are different types of prohibitions. There are stam prohibitions, like again, let's use tray, I eat non-kosher, I wear shatnez. And there are other types of lo sa'asays, which is called a labanitah klasi. A labanitah klasi is a violation or prohibition that can be remedied by the commission of a positive act. So for example, the Torah says you're not allowed to steal. But the interesting part about theft is what? That act can be remedied. How can it be remedied? The heishav esagzela. Return the stolen item. That's called a lav, a prohibition, hanitak la'aseh, that can be removed or that can be remedied by the commission of a positive act. So Rabbi Yehuda says that when the Mishnah said that tshuva takes care of a lo sa'aseh, oh no, tshuva doesn't take care of just all lo sa'aseh. It takes care of this particular type of lo sa'aseh, which can be remedied by an asay, which means what? It's already a lower form of prohibition. But however, according to the Gemara, says va'alosa se gomerlo. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd have to then infer that tshuva does not take care of a lo sase gomer, of a full-fledged prohibition. Also, when we say that tshuva doesn't take care of it, we'll see what that means. Is that means that tshuva by itself won't take care of it. That will require ultimately other things in order to remedy the wrong. So the Gemara says, is that true? That tshuva doesn't take care of a lo sase or minu? But I'll raise a kasha. The Gemara says, Elohim kalos. What an example of kalos, of lesser prohibitions. Ase, velo sase. So kalos means a person violated a positive commandment or a lo sase. Chutz mi lo sisa. I will say with the exception of lo sisa. Lo sisa is lo sisa, Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, not taking God's name in vain. So here you have a brisa that says that tshuva could take care of if a person didn't fulfill a positive commandment, or even if a person violated a prohibition, as long as it's not the prohibition of taking God's name in vain. So from here you see what? From here you see that tshuva does take care of prohibitions, of lavim, to which the Gemara says, no, lo sisa v'chol de damile. What the brisa means to say is that tshuva does not take care of lo sisa, and any lav that is like lo sisa. What any lav that's like lo sisa? Any lav that is what Rashi calls a lo sase gomer, a full-fledged prohibition, which carries with the penalty of malchus, of lashes. So the Gemara says, Tashma. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol shuhu mi lo sisa ulamata tshuva mechaperes. Rabbi Yehuda says, anything that is from lo sisa and down, meaning lo sisa and down means lo sisa and lesser severity, tshuva takes care of. Mi lo sisa ulamala tshuva tola v'yom kippurim mechaper. For lo sisa and above, tshuva, so also means tshuva suspends, which means also you have to understand something. In the natural construct of universal order, when a person goes ahead and commits an avera, what should happen immediately? a person should be punished. Right? Should be punished immediately. When we say tola, this idea of tola is there are certain things that buy you time in order to be able to get your act together. So, for example, the Gemara says over here that for averos from losisa and above meaning in upper severity, so tshuva tola, tshuva suspense, v'yom kippur mechaper. And Yom Kippur is Mechaper. So we'll say again, what do you see from here? It would appear that Lemaisa, all other lavim would be below Lo Sisa, and therefore Tshuva should take care of them. To which the Gemara says, no, Lo Sisa v'chol didamila. What the Brisa needs to say is Lo Sisa and any lavim that are like this. So we'll say, what does it mean? What's a lav that's like Lo Sisa? Lo Sisa is a full-fledged prohibition punishable by Malkus. So therefore, any other prohibition that's punishable by Malkus also cannot simply be remedied by Tshuva. Tashma. By Har Sinai, it says tshuva. Now, where does it talk about tshuva by Har Sinai? By the Chayta Egel, the sin of the golden calf. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, after the episode with the Egel, the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to daven for Klal Yisrael. Ultimately is successful in securing divine forgiveness for them. So this becomes a paradigm of national tshuva. So on one hand, it says tshuva by Choriv, v'nake, yachol af lo sisemen. I might have thought, therefore, even lo sisa, which Rabbeinu says is the second of the Ten Commandments, I might have thought again that lo sisa should be included as well. Namely, that just like tshuva took care of the chayta ego, so too tshuva by itself should take care of someone who takes God's name in vain. Talmud Lomar, lo yinake. Therefore, the Pasuk says, he shall not be cleansed. Loch yochol, meaning that what? Meaning that tshuva by itself does not take care of lo sisa. Yochol av shar chayvi lavin kein. I might have thought that this applies to other prohibitions as well. Talmud Lomar, es shemo. Shemo hu de'inu menake. It's only one who takes God's name in vain, who tshuva does not cleanse by itself. Ava menake shar chayvi lavin. But it will take care of other lavin. So both sides, what comes out over here is right now, we seem to have a dispute. We seem to have contradictions. We have Rav Yehuda saying on one hand that tshuva by itself does not take care of a lav. Tshuva does not take care of a negative commandment, of a prohibition. The only thing that tshuva takes care of by itself is what? Is a lav hanitak la'asei. But for any other kind of lav, you need a tshuva Yom Kippur combination. Tshuva will be tola, Yom Kippur ultimately will cleanse. But yeah, we have other opinions that clearly, like this price we just quoted over here, that seem to indicate that tshuva by itself can take care of even full-fledged lavim. To which the Gemara says, tinoihi. At the end of the day, it is a machlokes tanoim. It is a dispute. Machlokes tanoim. Disanyo, what does the Braisa say? Ama tshuva mechaperes. What does tshuva atone for? Avasei va'alosa se shenitak la'asei. Tshuva takes care of, we both say, if a person did not perform a positive commandment, or tshuva atones for a lo sa'asei that can be remedied by an asei. Va'ama tshuva tolu v'mikipur mechaper. And for what of acts is tshuva tola? Meaning, does tshuva suspend punishment so that Yom Kippur could come in and ultimately atone? Al krisos, if a person violated an avera for which there is a chi of karis, the amisos bezdin, and for those acts that carry with them a death penalty at the hands of bezdin, the alo saase gomer, and for a full fledged prohibition. So, Bosa, you see clearly this opinion in the Braisa holds like Rav Yehuda, namely that what? That tshuva by itself does not take care of a full-fledged lav. So for example, if I were to eat chazer, so again, if I do tshuva for that, the tshuva suspends judgment. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish me immediately. And Yom Kippur then, the cleansing effect of Yom Kippur comes in and finishes the cleansing process. Amar Mar, but Mar said, L'fi shenemar b'chori v'nakei minalon. So we'll say, remember, so we said before that by Har Sinai it says v'nakei. So what does this mean? Minolan, so where do we know that this tshuva works? This sanya. Rabbi Elazar Omer. E'ef shalomar nake, shekvar ne'emar lo yinake. Rabbi Elazar, remember, all of this is by the Yud Gimel Midos. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, E'ef shalomar nake, shekvar ne'emar lo yinake. D'chsiv, nake, lo yinake, gabi hadadi. So Rabbi Elazar, this is the confusing phrase in the 13 attributes. Hashem, Hashem, kelrachu mechanun. It says, nake, God will cleanse. Lo yinake, God will not. So what does that mean? So Rabbi says like this. EF Shalomar Nakesh Lonake. So on one hand, I can't say that Shuva cleanses because it says in the next sentence phrase that Shuva doesn't cleanse. We have Shalomar Loinakeshekvar Neemar Nake. And I can't say that Shuva doesn't cleanse because in the phrase before it said that Shuva cleanses. Okay, so how does this work? Menakehu l'shavin ve'ena menake l'she'ena shavin. Ultimately, Shuva works for those Rabosei who are sincere, for those who do Shuva. So Shuva works for those who are sincere in their Shuva, and Shuva does not work for those who are not sincere in their Shuva. So Rabosei, we see from here what? According to this approach, Shuva should even work for what, Rabosei? Even for what? Even for a full-fledged lav. Even for a full-fledged lav. So what comes out, Rabosei, is the sugya ends off with the machlokes tanoim. So here's what we know. Tshuva by itself works for an asay. So if I missed wearing tefillin for a day, so if I do tshuva for that, tshuva could remedy that transgression. Tshuva takes care of an asay, of a lav hanitak la'asay, of a prohibition that could be remedied by the commission of a positive act, like say I stole. Those things, for those types of infractions, so tshuva could take care of it by itself. What about for a full-fledged lav, a real prohibition that carries with it the penalty of lashes? That's a machlokes. Does tshuva by itself take care of that? Or do you need a combination of tshuva and Yom Kippur? Machlokes tanoim. So the Gemara goes weiter. Now, Bosai, I have to give you, we're going to do now, from now until the end of the Masechta, we're going to be doing some of the most beautiful Gemaras about tshuva. Virtually all of the Gemaras about tshuva come from these last couple of blot of Yuma. Pei Vav, Pei Zayin, Pei Chesem and Aleph. Oh, come from here. There are a couple of additional Gemaras by Rosh Hashanah, but you're going to see a lot of incredible, and it's very apropos. I mentioned yesterday in the Drasha that, you know, Rosh Chodesh is in of itself its own Rosh Hashanah. It's a new beginning. So we could take some of these Gemaras to heart if we want to start our new beginnings in Rosh Chodesh Adar. So let's begin. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, Shor Ramasya ben Charash es Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Beromi. So Ramasya ben Charash asked Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah in Romi. Now, I'll say, interestingly enough, just as a historical note, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah did not live in Rome, right? Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah was the Nasi, right? He was the head of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. Rebbe Masiya ben Charash lived in Rome. Rebbe Masiya ben Charash actually established the first yeshiva in Rome. So it could very well be that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, as the Nasi, is on official business in Rome, and he has a conversation with Rebbe Masiya ben Charash. Because interesting, you see things like this, you're wondering, what are they talking, what are they doing in Rome? Now you know. Shamos, I heard, Arba'a chaluki kapara shei Rabbi Shmuel Dorish. I heard, as Rebbe Masiya ben Charash asking Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, I heard that there are four different parts or four different models of tshuva that Rabbi Yishmael used to darshan. Amr Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah responds, no. Amr Shloshahin. There are only three models of tshuva, which are three models, utshuva in kol echad ve'echad. What are the three models? Avar ala sevishav, if a person violated a positive commandment, meaning a person did not perform a positive commandment, and he decides to do tshuva, eno zaz misham ad shemoch limlo. He doesn't move from there until he's forgiven. Meaning Rabbi Elazar, that I can be forgiven instantaneously for the non-commission of a positive act, as long as my tshuva is sincere. Shina Emar, the Pasuk says, Shuvu banim shovavim. Because the Pasuk says, return, O wayward sons. Which seems to indicate that as soon as I return, I lose my wayward kite. Right? I could go ahead and just simply return it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says, Shuvu banim umiyad erpa. I could be healed immediately. Lamarta shiyesh avera shemechaperes b'tshuva levado. So there is a type of avera that can be remedied immediately through tshuva. What is that? The non-fulfillment of an aseh, a positive commandment. Avra alo sase. However, if I violated a prohibition, va'asa tshuva, and I did tshuva, tshuva tola, tshuva suspends judgment. Yom Kippur mechaper, and tshuva buys me time. I can get my act together, and Yom Kippur ultimately atones. Both say this is reflective of the view of Rabbi Yehuda on Amud Beis. Shene Emar, because the pasuk says, "Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem mikol chatos seichem," because the pasuk indicates that it's only on this day, on Yom Kippur, that you will be atoned for your sins. Avra al krisos umisos beis din va'asa tshuva. Rabbi say, what happens if chas v'shalom person violated navera for which there is a chiyuv kares? I ate on Yom Kippur. Misos beis din. I engaged in immorality. So a person committed these types of averos va'asa tshuva, but I did tshuva. So what's the halacha? Tshuva b'yom kippurim tolim. Tshuva and Yom Kippur together suspend judgment. The yisurin mimarakin. But for this, Rabbi Osai, for such a severe transgression, it's only through suffering in this world that a person is purged of their sin. So tshuva and Yom Kippur together, tolling, suspend judgment, buy me time to get my act back together and to get my act together. But ultimately, it's only through suffering that I will be purged of my sin. Shene emar upakarati. Goes over the pasuk from Tehillim. Upakarati b'shevet pisham ubinigam avonam. Literally, I will remember them with the staff of their iniquity ubinigam avonam, and through afflictions with their sins. So David HaMelech is saying that sometimes only through suffering are we purged from our sins. However, the Gemara goes on. Aval mishi yish chil Hashem biyado. But Rabbi Yosef Chas Hashem, somebody who was mechalal Shem Shamayim, somebody who desecrated the name of Hashem. Now I will say it's interesting. What does this mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says chil Hashem chote umachti achirim. According to Rashi, the definition of chil Hashem is someone who sinned and caused others to sin. So somebody who committed chil Hashem, ein lo koach b'tshuva litlos v'lo b'yom kippurim lechaper v'lo b'yisurim lemarik. Rabbi Yosef, for such a person, Yom Kippur, doesn't work to suspend. Yom Kippur doesn't atone, and suffering does not cleanse. Ella, kulon tolin. But rather, I will say, what happens for somebody who had desecrated the name of God? So tshuva, Yom Kippur, and Yisurin. So repentance, Yom Kippur, and suffering, tolin, suspend judgment, buys a person time to be able to get their act together. Umisa mimarekes. But it's only once they die, it's only death that truly atones for the sin of Chil Hashem. Shene America, as the pasuk says, V'nigla ba'ozne Hashem tzevakos, im yechuper ha'avon hazeh lochem ad tumusun. Because the pasuk of Rabbi Yosef HaYishayahu is talking about the avir of Chil Hashem, of desecration of God's name, and the Navi says, you will not be atoned until you die. Heichi dami Chil Hashem. Shemo say, what is an example of Chil Hashem? We'll say, this is going to blow your mind, the examples the Gemara gives. Amarav, so Rav says, I'll give you an example of what would be Chil Hashem for me. Ishakilna bisra mitabcha velo yehibna dami la'altar. An example of Chil Hashem for me would be if I took meat from the butcher and I didn't pay him immediately. That would be an act of Chil Hashem for me. So we'll say, it's also interesting, you see from the beginning, even before we explain what this is, you see from the beginning, Chil Hashem apparently seems to be relative. It depends who you are and what your standing is. So Rav comes along and says, if I were not to pay the butcher immediately, that would be a Chil Hashem. Look at Rashi. Lo yehimna dami la'altar. Kishani ma'achel lifroa. If I go ahead and delay payment, hu omer sha'ani gazlon. So what's going to happen? The butcher is going to say, oh, Rav is a thief. And what's going to happen? V'lamad mimena lios mezalzal v'gazlon. So what's going to happen? If I don't pay the butcher immediately, the butcher is going to say, I'm a thief. Butcher's going to say I'm a thief, and word is going to get out that Rav doesn't pay his bills immediately. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Oh, if Rav doesn't have to pay his bills immediately, then I don't have to pay my bills immediately. So that goes back to Rashi's definition that Chil Hashem means I commit a negative act, but through my act, I cause others to commit the negative act as well. So Abai just qualifies this. I'm Rabbi Elosher Elabas with Lo Tovi. So we'll say, Rabbi says this is only true. We'll say different locales had different customs when it came to paying bills. So in some places it was understood that you bought on credit and the store would charge you at a later date. So obviously if you buy on credit, there's no obligation to pay right then and here. If that's the accepted local custom. Rav's obviously talking about a case where the city where it's not the custom, bless you, to pay immediately, but excuse me, it is the custom to pay immediately and I don't do so. However, Ba'asra de Tavis Les Lanba Am Ravina. So Ravina just says, Masa Mechasya happened to be a city where people bought on credit, and therefore the shopkeepers understood it was their job to go and collect the debts. Abaye, when Kiddushakal Bistra, Mitreshot, and also is amazing. Abaye, when he would buy meat from a store that was owned by two partners, let's say he'd buy a zuz worth of meat, Yohiv Zuzalahai, Vizuzalahai. He would pay each partner. See, he would double pay. And then what would happen? Then he'd get the two partners together and they'd work out a cheshbon. They'd realize that he double paid and they'd refund him one zuz. I will say, why did he do this? because he was concerned that if he only paid one partner, the other partner wouldn't know, and they would think that Abaye did not pay. That could cause Chilul Hashem. So in order to avoid Chilul Hashem, he double paid up front. Obviously, he's not going to, I mean, come on, we're all Jewish over here. We're not going to double pay, right? We're not going to let that go. We're going to settle up later on, but I'd rather overpay at first to avoid the potential of Chilul Hashem, and then we'll settle up when we're all together later on. Amazing. Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what would be Chilul Hashem for me? Kegon ana dimasigna arba amos below Torah below tefillin. For me, Chilul Hashem would be if I were to walk 4 amos without learning Torah, without wearing tefillin. So what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, if somebody were to see me walking dalet amos without wearing tefillin and learning Torah, so people might say, what? Oh, you see, even Rabbi Yochanan takes some time off. Right? So if he could take some time off, I could certainly take some time off as well, and it will lead people to idle time. So we'll say, you see, obviously, all of this is relative. The greater the person, the higher the standard to which they must hold themselves. You know what Chilul Hashem is? Anyone whose friends are embarrassed as a result of the word on the street about such an individual. So anyone whose friends, so I must say, it's an interesting idea. You know, sometimes we think to ourselves, oh, I don't really care what people say, what people think. You have to care very much about what people say, what people think. And if there's negative words, if there's negative news out about me on the street, that's something I absolutely have to remedy. Amar Amnachar Bar Yitzchak, Kigon Dika Amri Inshi, Shara Le Mario Le Plonya. What's Chilul Hashem? When people say about an individual, oh, the Ribono Shel Olam should forgive him for his acts. Meaning, so Chilul Hashem could be caused by someone who has a negative reputation. And sometimes we know people get a negative reputation even for things that they didn't necessarily do. What it tells you, by the way, is that if you have a negative reputation, you must actively try to remedy that. You can't say, I don't care what people say, because if I have a negative reputation and that's out about me, people may learn from that and may assume that if it's okay for me, it's okay for someone else as well. Abaye Amar, Bosa is a beautiful Gemara. Abaye says, Kibisanya, as we learned, V'yahavtas Hashem Alekecha. What does it mean to love Hashem? And this is so beautiful. So Abaye says that V'yahavtas Hashem Alekecha doesn't simply mean to love God. Rather, what it means is the name of God must become beloved through you. You have to lead. I have to lead the kind of life that causes others to love God because of me. How do you do that? Very nice. What Abaye is saying is, each of us, I'm an ambassador of God. We're all ambassadors of God. So what we do, we have to make sure that as a result of how I live and what I do, other people, when they see me, will come to love God as a result of who I am. So how do you do this? So Rabbi Yochanan, before you become an ambassador of God, you have to undergo intense ambassador training. And what does that require? Kore, Vishona. You have to learn. You can't be an ambassador of God without knowing Torah. Mm-hmm. And you have to serve. Because remember, what does it mean to serve Tamidei Chachamim? It's very nice to learn, but you have to have a relationship with people who take what they learn and inculcate it within their lives. It's not just enough to see Torah in the text. You have to see Torah in life. You have to see Torah in life. So you have to be mishamish. You have to serve Tamidei Chachamim. V'yimasao umasano benachasim abriyos. You have to speak nicely to people. You have to deal nice. So again, first you have to learn Torah. You have to serve and attach yourself to Talmidei Chachamim who will teach you how to live. You have to speak nicely to people. You have to deal nicely with people. And if you do that, Mahabrios Omar Salav, what will people say about you? Ashrei Aviv Shalom the Torah. People will say about you, oh, praiseworthy is the father. Praiseworthy is your father. Saying about the ambassador. Praiseworthy is this man's father that taught him Torah. Ashrei Rabbo Shalom do Torah. Praiseworthy is his Rebbe who taught him Torah. Because look at the way he lives. Look at who he is. Oy lahem labrios shlolam do Torah. Woe to the people who don't have Torah in their lives. Because look at this person. Look how wonderful they are. And they're wonderful because of the Torah in their life. Oy, how much we're lacking if we don't have Torah in our lives. Alamir shalom do Torah. Ploni shalom do Torah. So and so who learned Torah. Re'u kama na'im drachav. See how nice and pleasant his ways are. Kama mitukanim ma'asav, how in order his actions are. I love HaKasav Omer about him, the Pasuk says, Vayomer li avdi ato Yisrael, asher b'cho espa'ar. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you are my servant Yisrael, through you I will be glorified. So we'll say such an amazing, so it's just a dramatically different understanding. The Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha doesn't simply mean to love God, but rather it means I have to live a life that others will see, be inspired to emulate, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes exalted through me. The Gemara goes right to Avami, Shekora B'Shom Shamish Tamid Chachamim. But Rabbi says, someone who learns a lot, and a person who serves Tamid Chachamim, Ve'ein Maso'o U'masno Be'emuna, but he does not deal well with other people. Right, Rabbi says, Maso'o Matan means two things. Maso'o Matan means business dealings, someone who's not honest in business, and Maso'o Matan also just means conversation. So Rabbi says, you know, very interesting, you know, you can learn a lot of Torah, it doesn't make you a good person. You can learn a lot of Torah, you can have a lot of knowledge, it does not make you pious or a good Jew in any way. Many people know a lot of Torah, they're nothing to write home about. So a person who learns a lot of Torah, but ultimately goes ahead and his interactions, the way he does business is not correct, and the way he interacts with others is not correct, he doesn't speak nicely to people, what do people say about him? Woe to this person who learned Torah. Woe to the father who taught his son Torah's waste. Woe to the Rebbe who taught this Talmud Torah. Ploni Shalama Torah. Look at this guy who learned Torah. Look how Mikulkan Rabbi say literally means in disorder, right? Kilkul. Look what disarray his actions are. The Kama Muchu Arin Drachav. Look how disgusting his ways are. Va'alava Kasavomer. About such a person, the Pasuk says, Be'emor La'em Amashem Eila Omer Tso Yatso. About these people, the Pasuk says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yechezkel says, they were my nation, they were in my land, but now they've gone out. Rabbi say such a profound Gemara. Our job in life is to be ambassadors of Torah. But to be an ambassador of Torah, number one, you have to learn Torah. Because if you try to go out and be an ambassador and you haven't learned Torah, then what are you ambassadoring about? Right? So you have to learn Torah. You have to be mishamish. You have to connect yourself to great people. So you can see people who ultimately live lives of Torah. You have to take what you learn, both from your textual learning as well as from your life learning, build it into your human relationships. Build it into the way you conduct yourself. Build it into the way you do business. And if you do that, ultimately, you will inspire others to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu through your actions. Gemara goes back. I'm Rabbi Chanina. I'm Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. Gedolo Tshuva. Tshuva is great. Shemavir Refu Liolam. Tshuva brings healing to the world. Shene Emar. Erpa Mishuva Asam. Ohavim Nidava. Literally, I will heal them from their waywardness. Those who love Nidava, those who love the gift. We'll see what that means in just a little bit. Rami Chama Bar Chanina, Rami Ksiv. Rami Chama Bar Chanina contrasts two psukim. On one hand, the Pasuk says, Shuvu Banim Shovavim. The Pasuk says, return wayward children. Dime'ikara Shovavim Matem, which indicates that in the beginning you were wayward. Uksiv, I will heal you from your waywardness. So also, here's what's interesting. The first pasuk indicates, Shuvu banim shovavim, seems to indicate that when you do tshuva, so, okay, we now look at your past, you were wayward, but we forget your past, right? Your past. Once you do tshuva, you're cleansed. On the other hand, erpa mishuvo sechem, since I will heal you. Rabbi say, often when you are healed from something, so the healing is not complete, there's still the residual effect of the illness on you, still compromised in some way, which seems to indicate what? That even once you do tshuva, there is the residue of sin is still upon your soul. So which one is it? Does tshuva totally cleanse, or does tshuva heal, but I still have a spiritual limp? To which the Gemara says, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kaneava. Rabbi say we're going to spend time on this more tomorrow and the next day, but one is talking about tshuva me'ava, one is tshuva me'ira. Rabbi say again, simply put, there's much written about these concepts. Tshuva me'ava, let's start with tshuva me'ira. Tshuva me'ira means I repent, right? I change my ways. Why? Because I want to escape punishment. I don't want to get punched by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's tshuva me'ira. Tshuva me'ava is a desire to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love. Have a desire to be close, not about escaping the punishment. So the Gemara suggests the following. If a person does tshuva miyira, which is a lower form of tshuva, so that it allows me to cleanse the sin, but there is some residual effect of the sin on my neshama. I have a spiritual limp. On the other hand, if a person does tshuva me'ava, returns and changes out of a sincere love, that ultimately has the ability to erase my entire past. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Ramiksiv, Rav Yehuda contrasts a psuk. In one pasuk says, Shuvu banim shovavim, er pami shuvasam. One pasuk says, return our wayward sons, I will heal you from your waywardness. Uksiv hine anochi ba'alti eschem. So we'll say, here's what's interesting, is in the first pasuk, it refers to us, after we do tshuva, as sons. In the second pasuk, it refers to us as servants. So which one is it? Lokasha, kan me'ahava oyira, kan ayide yisurin. So amazingly enough, the Gemara suggests over here that if I do tshuva out of ahava or yira, I have the ability to be a son to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I only return because of suffering, a person is afflicted with suffering, and they understand their suffering to be a sign of divine displeasure about the way they're living their life, and I change the way that I live, then ultimately I come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I more come back to him as a servant who comes back to a master. Amar Rabbi Levi, Gedola Tshuva, Tshuva is great, Shemaga'as ad kisi akavet. Tshuva reaches all the way to the divine throne. Shene emar, Tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Return, Jewish people, ad. You go all the way back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Also, I have to apologize to you. You know, each of these Gemaras deserves a sheer by itself. But, all right, you'll keep it in mind just this way. What I beg of you is, make sure somehow you keep track of this, because come Elul, you need to dust off your Yuma and you need to take it out again, because these are all the Tshuva Gemaras. Maybe we'll find the time to go a little bit more into it then. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Gedola Tshuva, top of Amad Beis. Gedola Tshuva. Tshuva is great. Shedocha as low as I say Torah. Well, so listen to this. Tshuva is great because Tshuva sets aside a biblical prohibition. What's the biblical prohibition? Shene Emar. Leimor hein yishalach ishes ishto, v'halcha mi'ito v'haysa li'ishacher. Rabbi says, there's a halacha that says the fact of a man divorces his wife, and she then marries someone else, and then marriage number two, bless you, doesn't work out, and white husband number one and wife and his ex-wife want to reconcile. The halacha is they can't. Once, meaning if they get divorced, they want to reconcile, they certainly can. But once she marries someone else, the first couple may not reconcile. He can't remarry her. Say, if Rachinuch brings down, it's a din of morality. It doesn't look right. The woman was married to this man, then she married another man, then she comes back to the first man. It doesn't look like immorality, and therefore we don't do that. So what's interesting is the following. So the Navi says over here, this is from Yirmiyahu, that Leimor hein yishlach ishas ishto, a man will divorce his wife. V'halcha mi'ito, she will leave him. V'haysa lishachar, she marries someone else. Hayishuvei leha'od, right? Can she ever return to her first husband? The answer is no. Halochanov techanaf ha'aretz ahi, ves va'at zonusara imrabim, v'shuv elai ne'um Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yet, even though a man can't do that with his wife, you Klal Yisrael, you left me. You went to other lovers, and yet that relationships didn't work out. And now you come back to me, and guess what? I take you back. So beautiful. So again, what's a low? It's a biblical prohibition. A husband and wife can't do that. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu does what Klal Yisrael says. See, Rabbi Yochanan says, see from here that tshuva is so great that it even supersedes. It even sets aside other biblical prohibitions. Tshuva is great because it brings the redemption closer. Shene Emar, Uva L'Tzion Goel, U'L'Shavei Pesha B'Yakov. Literally, the Redeemer will come to Tzion. U'L'Shavei Pesha B'Yakov, for those who return. Literally, for those who do tshuva from their iniquities in Yaakov. Matam Uva L'Tzion Goel. Why does the Redeemer come to Tzion? Mishum D'Shavei Pesha B'Yakov. Because Yaakov, i.e. Klal Yisrael, decides to do tshuva for their iniquities. Amrei Shlakish Gedola Tshuva Shezadonos Naasoslo Kishkagos. Rei Shlakish says, see how great tshuva is. Rabbi said that if you do proper tshuva, even your intentional sins can be rendered like unintentional sins, like accidental commissions of negative acts. Shene Emar Shuvi Yisro Ad Hashem Elokecha Ki Kashalta Ba'avon Necha. Because the pasuk says, return Israel to Hashem your God. Ki Kashalta Ba'avon Necha. Literally, because you have stumbled over your iniquities. So the Gemara says, "Ha avon mezim." Rabbi said the word avonecha avon means an intentional sin. V'kari le michshol, and yet the pasuk says what? You stumbled over it. Rabbi says stumbling indicates what? Accident. Avon is intentional. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? That with proper tshuva, you can even take your avonos, you can even take your intentional acts, and tshuva transforms them into accidental acts. The Gemara says, "Ini." Rabbi Shlakish said, Gidol v'tshuva, shezadonos na'asas lo kizchuyos. Mind-blowing. Reish Lakish says that tshuva is so great that it could take your intentional sins and transform them into what? Right. Into merits. Or else, like, Russell, listen to this. Great is tshuva, that tshuva could take your averos and turn them into mitzvos. Turn them into mitzvos. Shene emar, ubishuv rasha mirisha. So when the rasha returns from his wickedness, va'asa mishpat utstoka aleihem v'chayo. And what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take those acts of rishus, those acts of evil, and he will make them utzadaka aleihem. He will turn them into acts of tzedaka. He will turn them into zechuyos. So what? So we'll say, so which one is? Reish Lakish contradicts himself. Reish Lakish first said that tshuva is great because it could take your averus, turn them into shkagos, take your intentional sins, turn them into accidental sins. And then Reish Lakish said, greatest tshuva, why? Because it could take your averus and turn them into mitzvos. So which one is it? Lokashya, kan me'ava, kan me'ira. So profound. If you do tshuva, me'ira, I'll say, if I do tshuva because I don't want to get patched, I want to avoid punishment, which again is still an incredible level by itself, that tshuva has the ability to turn your sins, to turn your intentional sins, into accidental sins. But if I choose the higher road and I choose to return to God, not because I'm afraid of punishment, but because I have a sincere burning desire to reconnect to my Father, tshuva me'ava, that has the ability to turn my intentional sins literally into mitzvos. We'll say tshuva is great, and that tshuva has the ability to prolong a person's lifespan. That when the rasha returns from his rishos, the chaya he will live. Rabbi Yishon of the Sfasemes comments in this gemara, and he says it doesn't necessarily mean biological longevity. What does it mean? Tshuva is great. You know why? It increases your quality of life. You might not actively live any longer, but the impact, the meaning of your days will be so much more profound. Ma'arecha shenosav. Ultimately, again, you'll get so much more from that same biological lifespan. On Rabbi Yitzchak, or even Rabbi Mishnei Drav Bar Mari, Bo'u Re'ei, Shalokim Yitzchak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basar Adam. We'll say another amazing Gemara. See how God is different than man. How so? Midas Basar Adam. Magnet eschavelo bidvarim. If a person angers his friend, with words, suffik mispais menu, suffik in mispais menu. If I offend someone with my words, maybe they'll forgive me, maybe they won't forgive me. Right? It's the great gamble in human relationships. Vintor mispais menu. And if you say they'll forgive me, suffik mispais bidvarim, suffik in mispais menu. So maybe they'll forgive me just with a verbal apology, and maybe what? Maybe I'll have to do stuff for them in order to ultimately earn their apology. Listen to this. Look at God. What does God do? Adam over Avera b'seiser. First of all, a man violates an Avera in private. Mispais menu b'dvarim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows himself to be appeased just by mere words. Shine emar, kichu imachem dvarim v'shivu al Hashem. All I need to do, Rabosai, is what? Is apologize. And the Ribono shel Olam forgives. Not only that, ela shemachzik lo tova. We'll say he's going to blow your mind. Not only does Kadosh Baruch Hu forgive, but what does he say? Kadosh Baruch Hu thanks me for doing tshuva. He thanks me. He Maxil Tova means that literally he counts it as if I've done something special. Right? Try this at home. Right? Try this at home. Let me know how far it gets you. Right? Right? I apologize. Did you see I apologize? Did you see? Right? You're not going to give me a shkoyach for apologizing? So I apologize. Number one, he accepts my apology. Number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gratitude to me that I apologize. Shne'emar, v'kach tov, lo od, elo shema'alo alav akozo kilu hikrif parim. Not only that, but when I do apologize, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts it as if what? I offered sacrifices. Shne'emar, u'neshama parim svasenu, shema tamar parichoba. Maybe you'll say it counts like obligatory offerings. Talmud Lomar, no. Erpa mishuvasam ohaveim nidova. When I return from my sin, Abosai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts it as if what? As if I've offered voluntary offerings. Karbanos Nedava. So Abosai, you see from here an amazing, amazing thing. And first, there's two pieces. First of all, the great chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows how frail we are. He knows how weak we are. So he knows you make mistakes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates the courage that it takes to change. That's why when we do change, when we do tshuva, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gratitude towards us because he realizes the Herculean efforts that that takes. Rabbosai, I think it's also an incredible model for human relationships. You know, one of the greatest things we struggle with is forgiveness. People wrong us, it takes us a little bit of time to get over it. We have to learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such an open heart for forgiveness. We have to emulate that as well. And if somebody is sincere in their desire to mend the relationship, accept it. Don't make them jump through hoops. Don't make it difficult. Don't make it a whole protracted process to earn your forgiveness. If they're sincere and they offer it, take it and move on. Tanya, Harumir of Mir says, Gidol tshuva, shebishvil yachid shasa tshuva, mochlan l'chala olam. Rameir said about say tshuva is great because when one person does tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives the entire world. Shne'emar, erpa mishuva sam, ohaveim nidava, kishav api mimenu. Mehemlo ne'emar ela mimenu. So we'll see, from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives the entire world, even though it says kishav api mimenu. My wrath has been taken away from him, singular, and it doesn't say from them, plural. So you see from here that even if one individual does tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives at least some measure of forgiveness to the entire world. Hey, chidami ba'al tshuva. Now we'll say, what is a ba'al tshuva? Now let's get to the nitty-gritty. How do you become a ba'al tshuva? Amar Rav Yehuda kigon. Shebasal yado dvar avera pam rishona ushnia benitzal hemena. So Bosai, first of all, Rabbi Yehuda says, number one, about tshuva means, Rabbi Bosai, I failed in a certain area of life. I have to overcome that same temptation to sin twice. So Bosai, I failed whatever it is. I failed in area A. Now I bless you. Now I have the opportunity to commit that same sin. Bless you. To muster the courage not to sin once, that might be luck, right? To do it twice, that's tshuva. I have to be tempted, I have to overcome it twice. Machvi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Machvi literally means emotion, which means Rabbi Yehuda added in with this, ba'ose isha, ba'ose perek, ba'ose makam. So Rabbi Yehuda says, give you an example of immorality. Let's say a person had a lapse of morality, a person engaged in an act of immorality with a particular woman. Rabbi Yehuda says, when is it tshuva? Tshuva is only when you're faced with the same opportunity, with the same woman, ba'ose perek means same time, ba'osa makum, same place. Rabbi will say, osa perik can mean one of two things. Rashi understands it means season. It means season. According to Rabbi Yehuda saying, how do you know you're about tshuva? If literally all of the ingredients that were present the first time I sinned are now here again. Same woman, same season, same place. So all the, what is that? Brings back memories, right? It brings back memories of the negative act. And if I overcome the desire to do tshuva, if I overcome the desire to sin, that's tshuva. Rabbi said, the Rambam understands that in Hilchos Tshuva, that perek refers to the same age. I'll say, what does that mean? That if I committed an avero and I'm 38, and then again it happens to be I meet the same woman, and it's the same season, same place, but I'm 92, and mamish, I've got my, you know, walker with my tennis balls on it, and I am making my way towards that woman. And I say, no, I'm going to stop myself, right? I'm going to stop myself from sinning. So I was like, obviously, that's not exactly the same level of tshuva. Now, I want to be clear. It counts for something. It does, because the Rambam says that even if you don't do tshuva until the end of your life, it counts for something. But the parent... I'm sorry?
What if you just can't sin like you wanted to sin, but you just fell on the way there and you tripped over
the line? Oh, you don't remember. Somebody's looking out for you. That's a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So both sides. Again, what the Gemara is talking about here is the paradigmatic tshuva is where all of the ingredients are here again for sin. All of the ingredients for the original situation, but yet this time I exhibit restraint and don't do it again. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Ramiksiv. Rav contrasted psukim. Ashrei nesui pesha kisoi chata'a. The pasuk says, praiseworthy is the individual whose sin is hidden. Uksiv mechasep sha'ev lo yatsniach. And the next pasuk says, that one who tries to hide his sins, cover up his sins, will not succeed. So both sides, it's a fundamental dispute. So what should I do? What do I do about chatoim? It should when I'm trying to do tshuva, should I publicize my sin or should I keep my sin to myself? So we seem to have two contradictory psukim. So lo kasha, ha bechet meforsam, If I sinned in a way that is public and known, then my tshuva has to be public and known as well. So this comes up with Chilul Hashem. So again, if I've done something that's known to the public, my tshuva has to include tshuva to the public. However, if I committed something that is not known to people, Rabosai, then Lamaisa, I have no obligation to broadcast. That we'll see later on. Not do I not have an obligation, but in fact, it's considered to be inappropriate to air your dirty laundry. Certain things you should keep to yourself. Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav Nachman, Kan Be'aver Shemin Adol Machavero, Kan Be'aver Shemin Adol Machavero. Sorry, Rav Nachman says, it depends on the type of sin. If it's a chit bin adun lechavira, then Rabbi say I should publicize it. Why? Rashi points out, because if I publicize it, I can then enlist the help of others to get the person who I wronged to forgive me. So if I keep my bin adun lechavira sin to myself, I need someone else to forgive me. That person may not want to forgive me. If I publicize the sin, I can enlist the help of people who are close to that person to help gain their forgiveness. On the other hand, bin adun lemakom a sin between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should be kept quiet between myself and God, because that has nothing to do with anyone else. It has to do with me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tanya Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Adam over Avera Pam Yishona, Mochlenlo. Rabbi Yosef, if a person violates a sin the first time, God forgives him. Shnia Mochlenlo. Second time, God forgives you. Shlishis Mochlenlo. Third time, I'm forgiven. Revius in mochala. Fourth time, I'm not forgiven. I will say, obviously, this means you can still do tshuva. But what's amazing is you get three times get out of jail free card. And don't get any ideas with this. But the idea is you get three times before HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds you accountable for a particular sin. Shnei Amar, Ko Amar Hashem, Al Shlosha Pishei Yisrael, Va'al Arba'a Lo Ashivenu. So God says, literally, I'll let you go for the first three times, but on the fourth time, I'm going to hold you accountable. V'nei Amar, Hein Kol Eila Yifel, Al Pamim Shalosh Im Gever. My voice, so we'll say here the pasuk, this pasuk is from Eov. Hein Kol Eile Yifal. If a person does all of these things, Al Pamim Shalosh Im Gever, for three times I'll let him go, but for the, again, the inference is that the fourth time he'll be liable. So the Gemara says, My voice, Omer, why does the Gemara have to add in this extra pasuk? Vichi Tema Hani Mili Bitsibor. You might have thought that this idea that God lets you go for the first three times is only a din in the collective, that if the tzibor sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives them for the first three commissions of sin, but for the fourth time not. But maybe for a yachid is held responsible even from the beginning. Tashma, hein kol ele yifa el pamim im gever. So we'll say that last pasuk, that second pasuk, the Gemara quotes is im gever, which means with the individual. So the Gemara goes by to turn rabbanan. Averos shat she hisvada alein yom kippurim zeh. Is another fundamental Gemara. If I did tshuva for averos from last year, I did tshuva for averos on last Yom Kippur, I do not have to go ahead and once again do tshuva for those same averos this Yom Kippur, provided that what? Yeah. I didn't repeat them again. Obviously, if you repeated them, you have to go ahead and do vidu, you have to do tshuva. So the Gemara says, tzarech lehisvados Yom Kippurim acher. But if I did not repeat these averos, and I did show for them again, Omer kikelev shav elkeo, just like a dog returns to its vomit, the fool repeats his negative behavior. So we'll say this is an amazing idea, fundamental issue, which has many true ramifications as to how much are you supposed to carry your past with you. So here you have the Bryce is saying that if you didn't avera, and you did tshuva for it, and you did not repeat it again, the past is the past. Don't keep bringing it up. And if you keep bringing it up, you're like a dog going back to its vomit. It's dealt with. It's done. Move on. Obviously, if you repeated the act again, then it's not history. Then it's your present. You have to deal with it. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, koshken shu meshubach, not true. Somebody who constantly does tshuva for his past, even if he did not go ahead and repeat those same averos, is praiseworthy. Shine emar, Ki pasha'ai ani eda v'chatosi negdi somid. I know my sins, I know my pesha, and my sins are constantly before me. Well, so what does it mean my sins are constantly before me? I constantly carry my past with me. My past is always a part of my present. Elamani mekam kel shavakeo. So what does it mean? When the pasuk says, like a dog that returns to its vomit, ki drafuna, dharma avuna, kevan sha'avar adam aveira, v'shanaba hutralo. Rabosai, because the Gemara says, when a person commits an avera and he repeats that same action, it becomes permitted to him. Could it be really mean that an avera becomes permitted? Rather, what does it mean? It means that lamaisa, when a person of Osai repeats a negative behavior, the negative behavior becomes permitted in his eyes. That's what it means, like the dog that returns back to its vomit. When a person becomes a habitual sinner, a repeat offender, so that which was once prohibited becomes in his eyes like it's permitted, and like a dog that goes back to its vomit. The dog goes back to its vomit, why? Because it's going to try to pick out some food from within its vomit. So too, the sinner goes back to his sin and doesn't realize that it's going back to the vomit. Sorry for using vomit so many times in one sentence, but I just wanted to get the point across. And when you do tshuva, you have to specify the sin for which you are repenting. Shne emar, ana chata amazeh chata gidola, v'yasu lahem Elohei zav. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and does tshuva for Klal Yisrael for the Chita Eagle, what does he say? He says, the Kaddish Baruch Hu, these people have committed a great sin against you, and they made for themselves a golden god. So we'll say, you see from here that what? Now, obviously, everyone knows what sin we're talking about, but yet, when doing tshuva, Moshe Rabbeinu went out of his way to specify the sin. This serves as a paradigm for tshuva. And whenever you do tshuva, you must always specify the sin for which you are doing tshuva. Rabbi Kiva says, no. Ashrei nisui pesha, kisui chata'a. Rabbi Kiva says, no, not true. You don't have to specify the sin. Why? Praiseworthy is the individual whose sin is covered up. Rabbi Kiva says, do tshuva, but just talk about tshuva in general terms. Don't bring up your specific sin. Elamahu Shamar Moshe v'yasu lahem Elohei zav. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu doing tshuva to chet eagle say to God that they made the golden gods? Oh, kid Rabbi Yana, Dar Rabbi Yana, Amar Moshe v'nei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Because why Moshe Rabbeinu was giving a shtach to Hakadosh Baruch Hu? What was the shtach? God, it's your fault they built the eagle. Why? Ribono shel olam kesaf v'zav sheh bisa lahem liyisrael ad sheyom rudai garam lahem sheyasu Elohei zav. I will say, do not try this one at home, right? Ribono shel olam, it's your fault they sinned. You took a people who never had wealth. You took a people who never had possessions. And what did you do? You gave them incredible wealth. What did you think? They weren't going to get themselves into trouble. I will say, you know, Rashi, HaKadosh on the Pasuk, gives the mashal of the son of a king, whose father gave him a bag of coins and put him at the entranceway of a brothel. Right. So the Gemara says, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think he's going to go buy ice cream? Right? What do you think he's going to do? When you give wealth to someone who doesn't know how to handle it, ultimately they get themselves into trouble. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not being mafari techeit, but rather Moshe Rabbeinu was going ahead and giving a shtach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara goes weiter. Shnei parnasim tovim amdum l'Yisrael. This one on the both side. There are two great leaders that we had as a people. Moshe v'David. Moshe said, Yikasev Surchani. Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his sin always be mentioned. Rabbeinu said, every single time that God says that Moshe is not going into Eretz Yisrael, the Torah always says why. It's amazing. It always repeats the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock instead of speak to it. The Gemara understands that Moshe Rabbeinu requested that. Moshe said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wherever you discuss my punishment, I want you to actively articulate why I'm being punished. Shnei Amar, Ya'en lo emant mi la'tisheni. David Amar, David HaMelech, on the other hand, said, Al yichtav sirchuni, shene emar, ashrei nisui pesha, kisui chata'a. David HaMelech, on the other hand, said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't bring up the episode with Bathsheba. Please don't talk about it. So David HaMelech did not want his sin discussed. So Moshe said, what's the pshat? This is amazing. Mashal the Moshe v'David l'ma David Amar. So we can give a mashal. L'shtei nashim, shalaku v'beizdin, achas kilkala, V'achas achla pagishias. Rav Osai is like two women who are being given lashes in Beis Din. Rav Osai, Rashi understands over here, one woman committed adultery. Now, again, this could be a situation where adultery, the punishment for adultery is death. So you could have certain circumstances where the mice, so again, she committed adultery, but you can't give her a death penalty for a whole variety of reasons, technicalities. You would give her lashes in such a situation. So two women being lashed, being flogged in Beis Din. One is being flogged, why? Because she committed adultery. And the other one is being flogged, the achas achla pagishvias. The other one ate unripe Shemitah produce. So we'll say, on the Shemitah year, you are not allowed to eat unripe produce. You can only eat ripened produce. So one is getting lashes because she ate unripe produce. One is getting lashes because she committed adultery. So what happens? Amar lahan also sha'achla pagishvias. The one who's getting lashes because she ate unripe Shemitah produce. She says to the Beis Din, V'akasha mikem, hodiyu amahi loke, shelo yomru amasha zeh loke, Zilukah. So the woman is getting lashes because she ate unripe shemitah bowls. She says, please, please, can you please make an announcement? Right, Maran v'Rabbanan, this woman is getting malchus because she ate unripe shemitah produce. Why? Because if you don't announce it, what's going to happen? They're going to think I'm getting malchus for the same reason that she's getting malchus. So what did they do? Heviu pagi shvius v'talu b'tzavara. They took unripe shemitah produce and literally they put it on her neck. Vayu machrizin lafanam, they would announce va'omrim al iske shvius hiloka, and they would announce about this woman who is receiving the lashes. She's getting malchus for eating unripe shemitah produce. So to Moshe Rabbeinu Rabbosai, always wanted people to understand. He wants to Kadosh Baruch Hu, listen, whenever you're going to mention my punishment, mention the why. People should know the reason why I'm not going into Eretz Yisrael, and they shouldn't ascribe my non-entry to some more severe transgression. All right, Rabbosai, we'll stop over here. Just to remind you, tomorrow morning, 5:45. Oh,